ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Texts 22 to 24, Chapter entitled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. Yasya Brahmadayo Deva Veda Lokas Sarachara Nama Rupa Vibhedena Phalgavya Cha Kalaya Krita Yasya Brahmadayo Deva Veda Lokas Charachara Nama Rupa Vibhedena Phalgavya Cha Kalaya Krita Yasya Brahmadayo Deva Veda Lokas Charachara Nama Rupa Vibhedena Phalgavya Cha Kalaya Krita Mataji's, please. So I'll just chant text 23 and 24 by myself. Itarchi sogne savitur gabastayo niryanti samyanti asakrita svarochisa tatayatoyam guna sampravaho buddhirmanakani sarira sarga savaina deva suramartya tiryan Na stri na sando na puman na jantu Nayam guna karma na san na chasan Niseda seso jayathad asesa word for word meaning, please repeat. Yasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who? Brahma Adaya, the great demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Deva, and other demigods, Veda, the Vedic knowledge, Loka, different personalities, Chara Chara, the moving and the non-moving, like the trees and the plants, Nama Rupa, of different names and different forms, Vibhedena, by such divisions, Phalgavya, who are less important, Cha, also, Kalaya, by the parts, Krita, created, Yata, as, Archisa, the sparks, Agne, of fire, Savitu, from the sun, Gavastaya, the shining particles, Iryanti, emanate from, Samyanti, and enter into, Asakrit, again and again, Swarochisa, as parts and parcels, Tata, similarly, Yata, the personality of Godhead from whom, I am thus, Guna Sampravaha, continuous manifestation of the different modes of nature. Buddhi Manaha, the intelligence and mind. Kani, the senses. Sarira, of the body, gross and subtle. Sarga, divisions. Sa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vai, indeed. Na, is not. Deva, demigod. Asura, demon. Martya, human being. Tiryak, bird or beast. Na, neither. Stri, woman. Na, nor. Sanda, neuter. Na, neither. Puman, man. Na, nor. Jantu, living being or animal. Na, I am, nor is he. Guna, material quality. Karma, fruit of activity. Na, is not. Sat, manifestation. Na, nor. Cha, also. Asat, non-manifestation. Nisheda, of the discrimination of neti neti. Not this, not this. Sesha, is the end. Jayatat, all glories unto him. Asesha, who is unlimited. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates His minor parts and parcels, the Jiva Tattva, beginning with Lord Brahma, the demigods and the expansions of Vedic knowledge, Sama, Rig, Yajur and Atharva, and including all other living entities, moving and non-moving, with their different names and characteristics. As the sparks of a fire or the shining rays of the sun emanate from their source and merge into it again and again, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the gross and subtle material bodies, and the continuous transformations of different modes of nature all emanate from the Lord and again merge into Him. He is neither demigod nor demon, neither human nor bird or beast. He is not woman, man, neuter, nor is He an animal. He is not a material quality, a fruitive activity, a manifestation or non-manifestation. He is the last word in the discrimination of not this, not this, and He is unlimited. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. This is a summary description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's unlimited potency. That Supreme One is acting in different phases by manifesting His parts and parcels, which are all simultaneously differently situated by His different potencies. Parasya Saktir Vividaiva Sruyate. Each and every potency is acting quite naturally, svabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. Therefore the Lord is unlimited. Natat samas cha abhigasya. Natat samas cha vyadikas cha drishyate. Nothing is equal to Him, nor is anything greater than Him. Although He manifests Himself in so many ways, personally He has nothing to do. Natasya karyam karnam cha vidyate. For everything is done by expansions of His unlimited energies. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilita Mena Tasmai Sri Guruvay Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Shrimati Devamrita Swaminiti Namane. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So my Guru Maharaj was listening to a lecture. He says how his realization is that definitely nobody can make up these prayers that Gajendra is offering. If we read the translations and the word for word meanings, it's just amazing. This is definitely transcendental. So reading previous chapters and this chapter, I was thinking how, party is over for Gajendra. He's going through so much physical and emotional stress, trauma. Krishna says in the Gita how, for a person who is honored, dishonor is actually worse than death. So for Gajendra, he was so powerful. But right now, he's caught by this crocodile. I mean, Gajendra, usually it's explained that, lion is the king of the forest. But in these past times, it's explained how Gajendra was the king. And all the tigers, lions, and all living entities, they would run at the sight of Gajendra. But it was embarrassing and humbling for Gajendra that he is caught by this crocodile in front of his family members. So Gajendra was going through, different thoughts and different, emotions. But as time went by, Gajendra realized that, he's finished. He's just helpless. So what we can see from these prayers is how Gajendra is chanting, is praying, but with sincere feelings. He's not just praying, but he's praying with so much sincerity. He's praying with so much feelings. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed in Sikshashtakam, Yugaitam Nimishena Chakshusha Pravishayitam Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed that every moment in separation from you, Krishna, feels like 12 years or more. And tears are flowing from my eyes constantly. And the world is like void without your presence. Sunyaitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename, in your separation. So here we can see Gajendra is praying in a similar mood, completely helpless and completely sincere, and with so much feelings he's praying. Prabhupada actually said once that even if we chanted once sincerely, Krishna will frustrate all our attempts for, you know, happiness and plans for sense gratification in this world, and he would take us back kicking and screaming, even though we don't want it. We don't want to go back. So this is the beauty of chanting with feelings. I mean, you know, Gajendra is not praying like, you know, we try to get our rounds done, you know, like we want to get our number of rounds in, but many times we don't even hear one mantra out of the 16 rounds. Our heads are like filled with so many plans. How are we going to enjoy? How are we going to, you know, fight distress like this? But Gajendra is actually praying with so much feelings. He's not just superficial. It's like on my way back from London to LA, there were like two seats next to me completely open. You know, I thought I would take a nice rest, you know, 10 hours, 11 hours. And then they bring this one girl, and then they say, excuse me, you know, she's going to sit here. So they put this girl next to me. And then she's all restless and she's playing like video games, you know. And then I'm chanting, and then she keeps looking at the words, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the bead bag, you know. She keeps reading this mantra, and then finally she says, what is this Hare Krishna? You're scared of being in the flight? It kind of puts you in ease? I said, yes, you know, it puts me in ease in flight. Also, we live in a crazy world, you know, so we always have to pray and, you know, take shelter of the Supreme, you know. And then she didn't say anything, and then she keeps ordering all these drinks, you know, vodka and wine and, you know, Bloody Mary, and gets drunk and then keeps playing games and then orders, like, you know, all the things that they could offer her, you know, chicken and fish. And so I keep chanting, and then she revealed to me how, you know, she's a born-again Christian. And completely drunk, I think she can't even hear herself. She's like screaming on top of her lungs, you know. And then she says, you know, you don't need to chant this Hare Krishna. You need Jesus in your life. I'm like, oh my God, you know, captive audience, what do I do, you know? So I'm trying to be polite, but she's speaking so loud, everybody's looking at me like, sorry for me, you know. And she says, you know, you don't need this Hare Krishna. Let me introduce you to the real God, you know. And then she says, can I pray for you? I said, yeah, sure, pray for me. She says, can I hold your hands? I said, you know, you can just pray for me without, you know, holding hands. You can just pray for me. And she gave me on top of her lungs, you know. God, it happened that, you know, I'm not even supposed to be sitting here, and then you put me here next to this person who is sincere, so introduce himself to you and, you know, give him this, give him that. And then finally she says, you know, because I have Christ in my life, Even if the plane crashed right now, I'm not scared. I was scared because it was such a turbulent flight. And this girl is saying the plane is going to crash. So I was so nervous, you know. She says, even if the plane crashed right now, that I will see God face to face. I have no doubt, you know, because I have Him in my life. I'm so confident, I'm so happy, you know. I'm so blessed like this. So I was thinking, you know, this is like, you know, so proud and arrogant, breaking all the regulative principles pretty much. She has like no idea of who is God. And she's so confident, you know, artificially. So Gajendra is not feeling like that when he's offering prayers. It's not a superficial prayer. Gajendra fully realized the futility of this material existence. Sometimes, you know, when we go through like hard times in life, we go to like astrologer, or, you know, we ask devotees to pray for us, and, you know, the hope is that things will get better and we will come out of this. You know, everybody, every one of us go through this. You know, we have this strong hope. But we see Gajendra, you know, things was not getting any better for him. For like 1,000 years, you know, he was struggling, he was fighting. But then he realized it's actually not getting better. Then we can see how Krishna explains in the Gita that svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahata bayat, that whatever devotion we perform, it's never lost. It's like Arjuna asks Krishna, you know, what about if somebody gives their life to serving you and, you know, they're not successful? What happens to them, you know? Do they perish like the clouds? You know, what does happen to such a person? They miss out on material enjoyment, they miss out on spiritual life. Krishna says there's no loss or diminution. We can see in this pastime how it is so, you know. Gajendra was a great king, great devotee in his last life, King Indradumna, and he performed all kinds of devotional service. And in this life, as an elephant, he was just having sense gratification. He was not, you know, consciously like doing any devotional service, but it's coming to him at the greatest time of need. Krishna says, Matta Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. From Krishna comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So Gajendra is suffering so much and Krishna is giving him intelligence how to surrender and how to offer prayers from the body of an elephant, you know. It's unbelievable. For a materialistic person, this will sound too far out, you know. But it's everything is possible. And Prabhupada writes in one of his purports that therefore, devotees, we should memorize all kinds of slokas like Brahma Samhita and other verses. So it will come handy when we are in, you know, difficult situation, when we are put through like dangerous situation. Not for prestige. Many times we memorize slokas to show like, you know, how special we are. It's like one time I took one devotee to a Indian program, and he's an American boy, devotee, and he gave a class, and the audience, you know, they were not very interested in spiritual life, so they didn't take him very seriously. So this devotee asked me, after all, you know, later on, he said, you know, was my class okay? I said, yeah, it was nice. He said, nobody said anything. I even quoted Sanskrit slokas, you know, just to show some authority, but still nobody took me seriously, you know. He was like disappointed. So we don't memorize slokas so we can impress people, but we can offer prayers with feelings, not for prestige. And we can see in these pastimes how the nature of the material world is. Krishna explains that ఆ బ్రహ్మభువన లోక పునర్ ఆవర్తిన అర్జున మాం ఉపేత్యతు కౌంతేయ పునర్జన్మన విద్యతి. కృష్ణ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ వెర్ ఎవర్ వి గో విత్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ యూనివర్స్ దేర్ ఇస్ దిస్ బర్త్ డెత్ ఓల్డ్ ఏజ్ అండ్ డిజీజ్. యూ కెన్ సీ హౌ గజేంద్ర, you know, this pastime is taking place in this Trikuta mountains in the heavenly planets. Can you imagine going through so much suffering in the heavenly planets? It's unbelievable. What's the point? You know, that's why Krishna says it's like two sides of the same coin, you know. We can't just have a coin with like one side. We can't avoid suffering. We can't, you know, we can't just enjoy all the time. There's always suffering, and we can't avoid it. It's just like King Nurga. It's explained how, just like when you go to the beach, you can't count how many grains of sand there are. Similarly, you can't count how much charity King Nurga has given. But just for making one small mistake, you know, he's, you know, the Yamaraj is asking him, you know, do you want to, you know, the amount of charity you've given, you will enjoy so much. I mean, there's no end to how much you're going to enjoy, but there's also a curse that you know, there is some suffering that you have to go through. So, would you like to go through the suffering first, or would you like to enjoy first? I mean, what kind of world this is, you know? And he figured out, you know, Nurga figured out, let me just, you know, go through the suffering first and then, you know, enjoy unlimitedly. So he said, okay, give me the suffering first. Then he became a lizard. So there is always like enjoyment, but there is always suffering. And we all go through this in our lives. And the nature of the soul is Anandamaya Vyasa, that we want to enjoy without impediments. That's the nature of the soul, that's the nature of Krishna. But the nature of this world is it's full of impediments, and we can't win. We have to surrender. It's like Prabhupada, you know, one reporter asked Prabhupada, like, why they are all like bowing down to you, you know? And Prabhupada asked him, Prabhupada said to him, they're all wondering why you're not bowing down. Because the reporter said, I don't bow down to anyone. Prabhupada said, yes, you do. You bow down to disease, old age, death, all these things. So no matter who we are, we have to go through these things. So a devotee lives a life of detachment. A devotee lives a life of detachment. Like, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of this yogi. He was living on a beach. And he had such a long life that every time one of this yogi's hair would fall, one Brahma would die. He had such a long lifespan, and the yogi's disciples offered him, Guru Maharaj, can we at least build you some, like a hut or something, you know, to stay, some humble residence. The yogi said, what's the point, you know, life is so short. So a devotee understands this nature of this world, and he lives a life of detachment. Without understanding this, we invest so much. We invest so much, even though, you know, we have some idea that we're going to die, but nobody believes it. It's like in India, I was encouraging my mom, you know, get a place in, you know, Vrindavan or Mayapur, or then, you know, because I'm not there and she's alone, you know, she can spend time in the Dham attending festivals and like this. And we were just discussing about the, you know, price of, you know, if you want to buy a land or an apartment in India, it's just unbelievable. It's, you can buy a place in, you know, Los Angeles, but you can't really buy an apartment in India nowadays. It costs like about 700,000 if you want to buy an apartment, like a two-bedroom apartment in Chennai. People are so greedy and they're working so hard, you know, like Sivaram Swami says, like raping the earth, you know, building and digging and, you know, so much. So the real estate is so high because You know, people don't understand this nature of this world. Everybody is so greedy. Everybody wants to like accumulate so much. Everybody wants to collect, and you know, but a devotee lives a life of detachment. A devotee lives a life of surrender. It's like in Bhagavad Gita we can see how, you know, Arjuna actually surrendered twice. First he surrendered out of distress, you know, seeing that he has to fight all his family members. Then when he heard the Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna asks him, like, what's your conclusion? Then Arjuna again surrenders, but the second time it was completely different kind of surrender. Similarly, we all come to Krishna consciousness for various reasons. But if we actually stayed and if we did devotional service, Krishna will actually show us, show us so much mercy and give us so much taste and give us so much realization. And ultimately, Krishna will take us back home, back to Godhead. We can see from these pastimes. Bhagavatam is full of such pastimes, you know, Draupadi, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, you know, Kunti and Gajendra. Devotees are put through tests, but they always come out victorious. It's always a win-win situation. There's no loss. So we just have to learn from these personalities to take shelter of Krishna's holy names, because Krishna's names and himself, they're not different. But Krishna will reciprocate depending on how we approach him. So any questions or comments? Had a nice trip to India. It was very inspiring. The most inspiring thing was that because I come from New Dwaraka, I got opportunities to give classes, like speak, even in big, big temples like Vrindavan, and addressing certain groups in Mayapur and Tirupati and Chennai and all these places. So inspiring to in Vrindavan, I got to read the whole Krishna book. It was so nice because many times, you know, we get so caught up that, you know, we don't take time to read Krishna book and Bhagavad Gita like this, you know, and relish these pastimes. So being in Vrindavan and going to the holy places and reading the pastime that actually happened there was, you know, it was really ecstatic, you know, to go around Govardhan. And in Mayapur, I went to Mayapur. It was so amazing, you know, how big our family is. They were saying, actually, this year there were not so many devotees. Not so many devotees came, but it was super crowded still. It's so nice to see that we're part of such a big family. And they're building a temple for 10,000 devotees, but we already have 10,000 devotees, so they may have to put some extension in the new temple hall. So nice to see this. We had this leadership, Sangha leadership seminars. People, devotees from all over the world, they were giving presentations on, you know, the services they're offering and how we can grow as a society, and, you know, some tips and the results devotees were having. So inspiring, so humbling actually. Because we may think we are so special, but then when you see somebody else is doing like hundreds of times of service that we're doing, we just want to serve them and follow in their footsteps. And the Kirtan Mela was also very special. I saw Sawas Prabhu and Tadit Mataji enjoying also their Kirtan Mela. It was so special, you know. So many leaders of our society, expert managers, but they also have so much taste and devotion for the holy name come together and chanting for like hours together, you know, non-stop for days. It was so uplifting. Also, I got to serve my Guru Maharaj. My mother was cooking for him for 3 weeks. It was so nice. It's amazing how, you know, she cooked for 3 weeks, all South Indian, but she never repeated any of the preparations. It was mind-blowing. And my Guru Maharaj kept bringing all kinds of Swamis to eat with him, so we got to meet so many big persons. My mother doesn't know anybody, she only knows like Devamrita Swami and Jayapatak Swami. But she got to meet so many personalities. And got to witness like Badrinarayan Goswami's initiation, that was so special. And then I went to Mumbai, to Radhanath Maharaj's farm. Maharaj has created this beautiful farm, about 80 acres of land, and they've hand-picked these best cows from all over India. And, you know, they have like goshala, cow protection, and fruit trees, and bullock carts, and they made these houses, but they didn't buy any bricks. Everything is made from, the bricks are baked from their own land, and they just, actually, they're opening a temple tomorrow for Ram Navami. And they have like about 70 brahmacharis in the farm. They have this course called the Bhakti Vedanta Vidya Peet. It's basically studying Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita for 2 years. They don't have to do anything else, just 2 years of like seriously studying Prabhupada's books. It was so inspiring. Krishna's sense of humor. I got to speak to these students on this, you know, Bhagavatam. They were like scholars and way more advanced, but it was so inspiring. And then I went to South India, went to see the temples, like went to see Balaji on the Tirumala hills. There are like 7 hills. Balaji temple is on the top. This deity is so ancient that, you know, we really don't know how old it is. It's mentioned in the Rig Veda, and Balaram actually visited. When Balaram killed Romaharshan, they asked him to go on a pilgrimage just to set an example for purification. And Balaram went and saw Balaji. Such a beautiful... It took me like 12 hours to prepare and be there and stand in line and everything, but then they let me there for like 20 seconds. They have like militaries, like thousands and thousands of people waiting in line to see Balaji. But went to see Ranganath in Sri Rangam. This deity was actually worshipped by, you know, Ramchandra. Personally, Ramchandra worshipped this deity, and then because Vibhishan helped him so much, he gave it to Vibhishan. So to see this deity was such an experience. Actually, I went many times thinking like, you know, I want to have special mercy, but then they moved me on, you know, it was very fast. But then I stayed at the hotel of this priest of Ranganath, so I went to give the keys back saying like, you know, I actually have to go, my train is at 4 o'clock. So I went to give the keys back at 3 o'clock and he said, what, you're not coming for special darshan? I'm on duty, so I'm the priest now, so come. So I went and I saw the crowd and the police and everything. It will take at least 5 hours. So I kept telling everybody, just trying my luck. I said, you know, Harish wanted me to come. So immediately they let me in. Harish wanted me to come. So all the way I made it to the altar like in like 3-4 minutes, you know. Usually you have to pay like 12,000 rupees if you want to go that fast. But then when I went in, to my surprise, he opens the gate of the altar and lets me in. He says, go in the side and stand there and pray as much as you want. And the deity is just stand, like right here, you know. It's like so much awe and reverence to see this deity. Huge deity, is like as big as this temple hall, you know. And it's so dark, you can only see him because there's a lamp lit. I was in anxiety because I'm going to miss my train. But still, I prayed for like 15 minutes and then got out and jumped in the taxi and I went and the train just like started like moving. Such an experience, but so much mercy, you know. And on my way to the airport, I went to Kanchipuram to see Varadaraja Swami. He's also a very special deity. Ramanujacharya and other devotees, they would actually have conversation with this deity as they're fanning him and serving him and like this, you know. Varadaraj means the king of benedictions. Whatever you ask, he'll fulfill all desires. And it's such a nice trip. It's so amazing to see how ISKCON is like exploding in India, you know. They're doing huge, and we have such good reputation also. Somebody was telling me how in Punjab, there was this real estate guy. He called the devotees, said, come, start a temple. You know, I'll pay you everything. I'll pay for the temple, I'll pay for the devotees' maintenance and book distribution, prasadam distribution. I'll pay for everything. Just come start a temple. So when the devotees did that, then he started building apartment complexes around the temple and everything got sold like in no time. So this is becoming like a trend now. The devotees have such good reputation. All these big businesses want to start ISKCON close to them, you know. So it's so nice. But it's always nice to come back and do service, you know. Because without service, vacation is nice, but real thing is service to Krishna. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.